You may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. If it pleases the Court, Robert Michael Zordy for the appellant, in this case, Pamela Huff. To reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. I'll remember to do that.
How many minutes?
2 minutes, please.
Two?
Yes. This case presents an issue of...
I want to point out, you're the only lawyer so far today that has asked for rebuttal time. And the bottom line is this: if a lawyer wants some help keeping it, you got to ask for it. Thank you for asking.
Thank you for allowing me to have it. The issue in this case is one of first impression in Virginia and possibly nationwide, and that has to do with whether or not a heart attack suffered by Deputy Huff about 6 months after returning to her job at the Sheriff's Department is a service-related injury which is covered by the accommodation and reemployment provisions of USERRA, which is a 38 U.S. Code 4311 at C. Now, our position is that it is, and that the Circuit Court erroneously granted summary judgment on two counts of the complaint in this case, having to do with her rights to reemployment and specifically accommodation for her disability. The first one would be Section 38 U.S. Code 4313, which specifically governs the type of positions that returning veterans are entitled to and the accommodations that they're entitled to. Section 4313 provides that when a qualified veteran returns, they are to be promptly reemployed in a position of roughly equivalent seniority to what they would have had had they not been away on employment. It also provides that if they are disabled, they have a disability incurred in service, then there have to be reasonable efforts by the employer to accommodate that. In this case, Deputy Huff suffered pretty severe injuries during her deployment in Afghanistan, when she returned to work, she had existing diagnoses of PTSD, major depressive disorder, and a few other conditions, which she made the Sheriff's Department aware of before returning to work, and which she feels she was entitled to accommodation for. About 6 months after returning to work, she suffered a heart attack, which I believe that the evidence in the case, because these issues weren't tried to the jury, but I believe the evidence in the case was that her physician at the VA opined that it was 100% service-related. I don't know whether the sheriff had a contrary medical opinion. So I would say it is either a jury question or it's undisputed that this was a service-related injury.
May I ask you this? Under your understanding of how these provisions work, is there ever a time cutoff on the post-reemployment discovery of a service-related disability to trigger these protections?
Well, I don't think there is one in the statute, Justice Kelsey, but I think that would be part of the sort of reasonable efforts analysis. I think that would be a jury question as to whether something was connected up. And again, you know, this is not a case where somebody came back and they were healthy and then, you know, 6 months later they had an injury and now they're saying that they have this sort of retroactive stuff. She was already sort of in the disability queue, if you will. And so...
Just wondering where the ultimate guidepost is going to be in terms of duration under your theory of how these provisions should be interpreted. Could it have been 5 years later that this diagnosis was made, or 10 years later for that matter?
I suppose it's possible, but fortunately that's not this case. This case, we're talking about 6 months, 6 to 7 months after her return. USERRA certainly, there's a provision in USERRA that's not applicable here, but it's Section 4316, which, you know, provides that once you return to work, you can't be fired except for cause for a year. So there are some things like that. Section 4311, which she also brought claims under, which one of which was struck, the other, the jury came back with a defense verdict, don't have time limits in them, but they allow you to bring claims. That you have to show that that your military service was a motivating factor in the mistreatment, either the retaliation or the discriminatory action.
Counsel, I understand your two-year argument and that there may be some ambiguity that we have to work through, but when you look at USERRA as a whole, It appears to be a comprehensive framework where each of those sections performs a very discrete task. You have 4310, which says no discrimination against veterans. You have 4311 saying you hold a position. You have 4311, 4312, you hold a position. 4313, here's how you come back into the position, and here's what happens if you are not capable of performing that condition, that position, based upon a service-related injury. 4314 applies the statute to the federal government. 4315, I think, is withheld. And then 4316, as you just mentioned, says here's what happens after you have been reemployed in terms of if your deployment was more than 180 days, you can't be fired except for a cause within. Anyway, I don't need to go into the details of 4316, but it's 4316C. That seems to work against your two-year argument. In other words, your argument doesn't really fit within that statutory scheme within that section. And how do you respond to that?
Well, I don't think it has to be 2 years. I think that what I would say about the two-year provision in 4313, which has to do with the sort of this huge amount of time that veterans are given to return to work, is one of the unique things about USERRA. I would like to point out that the purpose of USERRA was to clarify, simplify, and also, where necessary, strengthen the existing veterans' employment and reemployment rights provisions. So, you know, I don't think it's unreasonable, to think that it might expand those. So I think the question here is whether what we're talking about is there are some unprecedented things in USERRA that other laws like the ADA don't have, like this two-year period to return to work, some of the escalator provisions and, the reemployment requirements and things like that. And so what we're submitting is that it's reasonable to assume that Congress would have intended for disabled veterans to be properly taken care of, and that sometimes properly accommodating them and or retraining them or getting them set and qualified into their job is going to require things to happen after they go back to work.
But doesn't, and as Justice Mims has said, this very comprehensive scheme, doesn't it accomplish what you're attempting to accomplish if we read it the way your opposing counsel's brief would suggest that we do? And that is that if up until 2 years after your return from service, you are not medically capable, medically able to perform your job, your employer has to hold that job. They have to reemploy you. But once you are reemployed, then the other anti-discrimination provisions, if you will, of 4311 kick in to protect you. The employment seems to be a point certain after which 4311 protects you, and that service-related disability would then be taken into account under 4311. Why isn't that analysis that was engaged in by the Fourth Circuit and that is promoted by your client the appropriate way, the more reasonable way?
Well, just how 4311 requires a showing of intent by the employer, the discriminatory intent. 4312 and 4313 do not. They're intent neutral. So it doesn't matter whether you don't have to show that you weren't given your disability accommodation because of your military background. You just have to show that it didn't happen and it was supposed to. The cases that are cited, like the Francis case, are all, none of them involve the disability provisions. They all involve veterans. For example, even the Francis case itself involved a veteran who went back to work, and 6 or 8 months after he went back to work, they changed up the schedule.
But they're looking at the timing. They're looking at the timing beyond which something occurs, with reemployment being one benchmark beyond which 4312 may not apply.
Well, but I think that there are two different benchmarks. I think in 4312, if you're not disabled, then yes, your first day back, if you go back to work and, you know, you're all good to go and you go back, I think that the holding in Francis and the other cases makes sense. But I think that if you are disabled, then Congress, you know, I think it's reasonable that Congress intended there to be a second track, which is why they keep using the phrase after reasonable efforts.
Okay. Counsel, you mentioned ADA, and actually, before I ask my question, there is no doubt that your client has performed extraordinary service for our country, and that's we are asking these questions independent of any particular individual. We're looking at the legal principles, but I think the record really ought to reflect that. You mentioned the ADA earlier and how Congress was. It's apparent that Congress really did want to have a comprehensive scheme to make sure that veterans are treated fairly as they return. Is there not also an ADA cause of action and for a case of this nature?
I suppose there could be, but this isn't an ADA case. It's a USERRA case.
Understood. But if we're looking at what was Congress intending, if in fact ADA would also apply, then that might shed light on why Congress would not have included protections well into the reemployment track. That's why I raised that question.
What do we make of the sort of temporal words in 4313? Disability incurred then or aggravated during. I understand the doctor has described this as a service-related disability, which appears to have occurred after her return to work. So if we define it as something that occurred after she returned to work, does 4313's incurred in and aggravated during apply?
Well, I think it would be a jury question as to whether that, you know, the degree to which that was service-related. But I would submit that if the jury found that, then yes, it would, then 4313 would apply. Let's see, I guess I'll take the balance of my time for rebuttal, unless there are any other questions.
2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Good morning again. My name is Jim Gwynn. May it please the court, I'm here on behalf of Sheriff Michael Winston. This case was decided by the trial court on the basis of two stipulated facts. One was that when Ms. Huff returned from Afghanistan, she was returned to the position that she left, same pay, same hours, same seniority, everything. The second was that by so and really not as much a fact as the conclusion that the court reached, which was that by doing that, that Sheriff Winston had indeed complied with every requirement of USERRA with regard to reemployment. The case that the plaintiff is positing here is basically an ADA case. And through a somewhat convoluted reading of 38 U.S.C. Section 4313, trying to establish that there's some two-year rule that allows someone who has been reemployed to then go back off on disability and come back is simply not within the purview of the statute. And it's not within the purview of the statute for a couple of reasons. One is the statute talks in terms of the disability, the injury incurred during service, not service-related. It talks about reincurring it during service. And that makes sense because as was pointed out earlier, this statutory framework is laid out, as the Fourth Circuit said in Francis, specifically and purposely. And the Fourth Circuit, being the highest court for this state in federal courts, has said and described that procedure.
With no binding effect upon us.
No, Your Honor, but certainly.
Just want to make sure you know that.
The highest federal court.
And I did add that at the end. I realized that I might be misunderstood if I wasn't careful, but obviously the highest federal court. And this being a federal statute, not that you'd be bound by it, Your Honor, but nonetheless, I think I would submit to you that just as if I were standing in front of them, I would submit that this would be the court that they should look to for interpretation of state law, that, in fact, the Fourth Circuit's interpretation of this statute is, while not binding, certainly informative and quite authoritative.
Can I interrupt you with this? You said a moment ago, keying off of a question from the bench about, well, this happened later. This was diagnosed later. But the thing I'm not getting in this case is that whole distinction we've been drawing for years, which makes perfect sense between the accrual of a condition and the symptoms from it, like the John Mansfield, the Locke cases for statute of limitations purposes. Obviously, the trauma that would produce this later disability occurred during service. The trauma didn't occur in a car wreck after she got back, right?
Right.
So why would not the language be consistent with the thought that it's a service-related it is a disability incurred during actual service in the military because the traumatic condition created the syndrome that later produced the symptoms which were diagnosed at a later time, but the actual event for legal purposes occurred during the term of actual military service?
Your Honor, it's not a question of whether the 2 years applies and what causes it, as much as it is the term reemployment. And the statute itself in 4313 specifically talks about the position that you would return to. 4312 talks about when you would return. And so when you're talking about when you return, the two-year issue here has to do with 2 years from the date you were eligible. The whole statute sets up and talks in terms of 90 days of service, 180 days of service. I think if you've been in 90 days, you're supposed to, or 30, if you've been in 31 days or less, you're supposed to return in 8 hours. In other words, the next shift, you got to come to work. 90 days, you get a little bit longer. If you're injured, and if you're not able to return to work, you get 2 years to return. It's not a question of whether or not the disability entitles you after you've returned to work to be off. That's not the purpose of the statute. That's the point that the Fourth Circuit was making in the Francis case when it talked about reemployment being a definable time. It's one event. And frankly, if the person gets fired the next day, USERRA doesn't address
so
that.
What would happen if there was a diagnosable condition immediately upon return, but it is not diagnosed, and for whatever reason the service member doesn't seek medical care, and they go back to employment with the condition in place, and then a week later a doctor says, actually, you've had this ever since you've been back?
At that point, Your Honor, the reemployment would take Section 4312 and 4313 out of play. And I would submit that that's where the ADA becomes the issue. The ADA comes in and says, okay, you are now a disabled person. What is the accommodation that has to be made for you because you can't do the job? It really, in reading the statute, it only is talking in terms of when you start to work, when you are returned to your position. And that's where the 2 years comes in. It doesn't have anything to do after you've returned to your position. And I don't...
So the big picture is this statute does have gaps in it, but these gaps are fully filled by the ADA.
And I would submit to it, yes. And I would submit that the reason for that is that the Congress decided that since the ADA already covered it, it was not going to address it a second time. And that is one of the rules of construction and interpretation that we would urge the court to look at and say, hey, this is, it's the same thing, it's the exact same methodology that was used in Francis that this court uses in doing statutory interpretation, and that is you don't read one statute to make another one meaningless. And to give the meaning that the plaintiff is suggesting to 4313 means that the ADA doesn't exist. You're just simply reading it out of the code. And I would submit to the court that that's certainly not historically been the basis of interpretation in this court, and it is not reasonable to assume that Congress intended to write the ADA out by doing that. So once you look at it, as Francis says, and you look at what each statute is described as doing, and frankly, in the federal system, the titles of the statutes aren't given some, not controlling weight, but are given some weight. And 4312 talks about the reemployment rights, talks about when you come back to work. 4313 talks about what position you return to. And the accommodation in 4313 that is made at the time of reemployment. And that's telling employers that if someone comes back and they have a condition, that the employer has an obligation at that point to make an accommodation for that. Now, the ADA probably would not apply there because the person's not employed. So, see, you have the whole statutory framework is you get them back to being employed. That reemployment is not a period of time. It's a discrete, specific event. I was reemployed on March 1st or whatever. That's the date. After that, you start looking at either 4311, if you've been discriminated against because of exercising your rights under USERRA, or 4316, which was not part of this case, for any benefits that you've been deprived of as a result of your military service. And those include things like seniority. The cases are legion of police officers who are on duty. They're not able to participate in promotional processes. What happens to them? Well, they're entitled to have that when they get back. So there are a number of protections that occur, but the protection for a disability, a service-related disability, under USERRA, under 4312, only occurs at the time of reemployment. It's the other statutes and the ADA that would kick in after that, which, coming all the way back around to how long you would have, technically, under the plan's reading, you'd have whenever you if it was diagnosed 15 years later, all of a sudden now you've got a USERRA claim. And I would submit that that's not at all a congressman. But at that point, it would have to be an ADA situation. And that would be the reasoning that we would have. We would ask the court to adopt the reasoning that the Fourth Circuit has applied in interpreting USERRA and determine that reemployment rights do occur at that one discrete instance under 4313 and 4312, and that in this case, by reemploying Ms. Huff as he did, that the sheriff complied with all of his requirements under USERRA. If there are no more questions, I would simply ask the court to affirm the summary judgment that we granted in the lower court.
Rebuttal?
Just very briefly, Your Honor, I wanted to try to clarify a couple of points. I know that there's a lot of confusion about the two-year provision and the reemployment provision. 4312 says that you have 2 years after you leave service to get back to work, and if you're disabled, that's designed to help, help you convalesce. But then I would submit that the provisions of 4313 are sort of independent of that, that they speak to what your job is supposed to be, what sort of accommodation they have to make to get you back into the workplace, and that that's sometimes going to require training, or other accommodation. The CFR specifically says that that's not supposed to be, there's not supposed to be any cost, to the veteran for that type of retraining or accommodation. And so I would submit that that your right to accommodation, if you're disabled, is necessarily going to sometimes happen after you get back to work.
Do any of the administrative regulations touch on these subjects in any specific way in terms of interpretation of the Fourth Circuit in the Francis case?
Well, there are a couple of CFR sections, yes, Justice. There's the one that I'm thinking about is the 20 CFR section 1002.198B, which specifically says only after the employer makes reasonable efforts as defined in 1002.5I, which defines reasonable efforts as training provided by an employer that does not place an undue hardship on the employer, but then it says it may determine that the employee is not qualified for the reemployment position. These reasonable efforts must be made at no cost to the employee.
Right, but is any of the language in the administrative regs address the timing issue, pre- or post-rehire?
Yes, sir. But, again, I would submit that 4313 is sort of independent of 4312, and that, I mean, just of necessity, sometimes, you know, getting people back into work is going to require things to happen after. Also, remember, 4313 also requires that they be promptly reemployed once they get back. And so it doesn't contemplate that, you know, once they're ready to go, that there's going to be a lot of pre-employment training and things. Thank you. I see my time is up.
Thank you very much. Bye.